Good evening. I'm LeVar Burton, and for tonight's sleep story, I'll be your ship's captain on a journey through the wondrous worlds of our very own solar system. Tonight's story combines two of my biggest passions, the marvels of space exploration and the power of storytelling. I've indulged in these fascinations for many years, from my roles on Star Trek The Next Generation and Reading Rainbow, to a more recent endeavor, my podcast, LeVar Burton Reads. And tonight, I'm excited to share these passions with you once again. So, make yourself comfortable and close your eyes. Take a deep breath as we voyage billions of kilometers to explore the fascinating worlds in our cosmic backyard. Imagine yourself enclosed in a cozy vessel, tucked under a warm blanket. You turn your head to look out the window, and there it is, a silent sphere of vibrant blue, patched with continents of brown and green, enwrapped with giant swirls of white. This is home. We're orbiting 30,000 kilometers from Earth's surface, far enough out to take in the entire planet in a single view, but close enough to see the details, the intricate features of the landscape, like the traces of turquoise around the Caribbean islands and the faint twinkles of European cities lighting up as night falls. A canvas of clouds embraces this fragile place in mesmerizing patterns. Swirls and spirals, feathery sheets, cascades of thin strips. We're soaring high above Central America, watching the North and South American continents stretch off into opposite hemispheres, joined by a narrow strip of land like two children swinging around each other playfully. But from up here, I suppose it doesn't really matter if we're above Guatemala, or Greenwich, or Gujarat. From up here, we all have the same address. The Earth is a wonderland of conditions for creatures like us. It is just the right distance from the sun to support liquid water, an average of 150 million kilometers, a distance astronomers call an astronomical unit. Our atmosphere is a delicate balance of nitrogen, oxygen, and other gases, trapping just the right amount of the sun's energy, creating an ideal setting for life to flourish. Living things burst from every pocket and crevice of our planet in an endless plentitude of shapes and proportions, from microbes organizing on the ocean floor, to conifers multiplying on mountains, from raptors soaring in the skies, to reptiles meandering in the marshes. This is where it all started, where life began billions of years ago, and where your life began far fewer years ago. But tonight, we say goodbye to our home planet just for a little while. And we begin our journey at the center of the solar system, where an unimaginable density of hydrogen and helium spins and smolders in a nuclear reactor with a 10 billion year lifespan. The sun is a 4.6 billion year old cauldron of scorching hot plasma. At its core, nuclear fusion. Powerful gravity compresses hydrogen atoms together, fusing them into helium. Temperatures can reach an unthinkable 15 million degrees Celsius. As the gases heat up, atoms break apart into charged particles, transforming the gas into plasma. The sun's surface is a torrid, bubbling chaos. Temperatures broil at more than 5,000 degrees Celsius. Eruptions of plasma escape into space. Ejections of hot ionized gas release at speeds of several million kilometers an hour. Our home star is more than 100 times the diameter of the Earth. More than 1 million Earths could fit inside it. The Sun contains an extraordinary amount of matter, holding more than 99% of the mass in our entire solar system. It's made up mostly of hydrogen, with a good proportion of helium, and small quantities of oxygen, carbon, neon, iron, and other trace elements. As massive as it seems to us, our Sun is an average middle-aged star, ordinary by galactic standards. Next, we travel 58 million kilometers to the world nearest to the Sun, the smallest in the planetary family. Mercury is a dense ball of gray rock, not much bigger than Earth's moon. Next to the Sun, it might look like a baseball at the foot of a mountain. It has no atmosphere to speak of, and its rocky surface is speckled with thousands of craters, remnants of the planet's formation billions of years ago, when asteroids pummeled its landscape. On Mercury, temperatures swing from a searing 430 degrees Celsius to a frigid minus 180 at night. Mercury completes an orbit around the Sun in 88 Earth days. But, unlike Earth, its rotation takes a lethargic 59 days. So, the planet doesn't even complete two rotations during a Mercury year. About 4 billion years ago, an asteroid 100 kilometers wide collided with Mercury, and the resulting crater punctuates the planet's surface to this day. We call the impact crater the Caloris Basin, and it stretches 1,500 kilometers wide, large enough to hold the state of Texas. Mercury has low gravity and next to no atmosphere. But next, we travel another 50 million kilometers outward from the Sun to a planet in an altogether different state. Venus is a volatile world with a mountainous, volcanic surface and a dense atmosphere rich with carbon dioxide. Its rocky surface hides under a yellow haze of sulfuric acid clouds. Beneath the turbid cloud cover, periodic bolts of lightning surge down on a varied landscape. Thousands of volcanoes and several mountain ranges soar up between wide stretches of flat, lithic plains. Venus holds the title of hottest planet because of its dense atmosphere. That concentration of carbon dioxide traps heat from the Sun, causing a runaway greenhouse effect. On Venus, temperatures scald as high as 470 degrees Celsius, hot enough to melt lead. Though Venus is not habitable like Earth, it does resemble our home planet in size and mass, and it has a similar density, composition, and gravity. Since we've already spent some time on the third planet from the Sun, let's travel to the fourth, an alluring planet about half the size of Earth. Mars is a mysterious red world with a rocky, dust-covered surface and a thin atmosphere. For thousands of years of human history, because of its infatuating color and apparent peculiarities in its orbit, Mars has captured the human imagination. We looked up at this curious object in the sky and wondered if it harbored life, even civilizations. But in recent decades, we've learned that Mars is a barren place with as yet no evidence of life. Mars is not a world as varied or dynamic as Earth, but it does boast some characteristics very similar to our home planet. It has a transparent atmosphere, a climate, a 24-hour day, and polar caps. Across the planet's harsh environment, we find flat, low-lying plains, rocky rolling hills, and dusty sand dunes. Both towering peaks and plunging depths ornament the Martian landscape. Mammoth volcanoes dot the planet, all of them inactive for millions of years. The largest ascends from the land in the planet's northern hemisphere. Olympus Mons rises 27 kilometers high, about three times the height of Mount Everest. The largest canyon in the solar system carves east to west, just below the Martian equator, sinking as much as 7 kilometers deep. Called Valles Marineris, this expansive system of valleys spans 4,000 kilometers, about the distance from Los Angeles to New York. Many craters speckle the planet's southern hemisphere. The largest is named Hellas Planitia, and it stretches 2,300 kilometers across. Mars is a cold place. The average temperature is minus 60 degrees Celsius, and some parts of the planet get much colder. Near the poles, during the winter, temperatures plummet as low as minus 125 degrees Celsius. The Martian atmosphere is less than 1% the density of Earth's, but it is dense enough to support a climate. Mars has clouds, winds, and weather patterns, including storms. The largest dust storms in the solar system sometimes engulf the entire planet and last for months. Two tiny moons orbit Mars, named Phobos and Deimos. Both are riddled with craters, covered in dust and loose rock, and made mostly of carbon-rich rock mixed with ice. These small moons lack enough gravity to form themselves into a spherical shape, so they have odd structures, appearing almost like rocky potatoes floating through space. Next, we visit a field of Petrus objects circling the Sun between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter, serving as an informal boundary between the inner terrestrial planets and the gaseous Jovian planets of the outer solar system. Welcome to the main asteroid belt, a ring of rocky objects that number in the billions, all of it debris left over from the formation of the solar system 4.5 billion years ago. These asteroids are frosty places with little gravity, no atmosphere, and average temperatures of minus 73 degrees Celsius. Asteroids come in many shapes, often clumpy and disproportioned. Most are small clusters of loose dust and rock the size of boulders. But some are solid and much larger, as wide as kilometers across. More than a dozen have diameters of over 200 kilometers, and a few stretch more than 400 kilometers across. The largest object in the asteroid belt is called Ceres, with a diameter of 950 kilometers, roughly a quarter the size of our moon. In science fiction movies, an asteroid field is a dense, maze-like cluster of giant floating boulders that spin and collide in an unpredictable chaos. But the main asteroid belt, as it is today, is comparatively spacious. The average distance between asteroids is almost 1 million kilometers. As our voyage continues, we venture beyond the asteroid belt, farther from the sun, to worlds that bear less and less resemblance to our own. The first stop is a planet so vast that more than 1,300 Earths could fit inside it. Jupiter is a Leviathan among the planets, a gas giant, and a gravitational juggernaut. It is a turbulent, gaseous world where winds gust at speeds of hundreds of kilometers an hour, where hydrogen churns in liquid metallic form, and where a hurricane-like storm has spiraled for hundreds of years. Much like the sun, Jupiter consists mostly of hydrogen and helium gas. If it were about 80 times bigger, this gas giant would have evolved into a star. From a distance, we observe what appears to be thick horizontal stripes dancing across the planet. Variations in temperature and chemical composition cause these atmospheric bands to have different colors: orange, brown, yellow, and white. In a hypnotic display, winds carry adjacent bands in opposite directions. Deep under the planet's colorful blanket of clouds, there stirs an immense ocean of liquid hydrogen. And halfway to the planet's core, because of the crushing pressures, the hydrogen transforms from liquid to liquid metallic form. As the planet spins, this ocean of swirling liquid metal creates a magnetic field 20,000 times stronger than that of Earth. Jupiter spins on its axis at an impressive speed, completing a rotation in just under 10 hours, the shortest day in the solar system. But it takes the planet 12 Earth years to complete a revolution around the sun. Just below the equator lies Jupiter's Great Red Spot, a giant anticyclonic storm. The edge of this hurricane-like storm spins counterclockwise around its center at speeds of up to 640 kilometers an hour. At the storm's widest point, its diameter is three times that of our entire planet. Jupiter has dozens of moons, almost too many to keep track of. The four largest were discovered by Galileo Galilei back in 1610, and they have the enchanting names of Ganymede, Callisto, Io, and Europa. Ganymede is the largest moon in the solar system. It's actually bigger than Mercury. Io is the most volcanically active body in our solar system, and the first place humans discovered volcanic activity outside of Earth. Io orbits Jupiter in an irregular ellipse, so the moon's distance from its planet varies greatly. Jupiter's mighty gravity causes Io to expand and compress when farther or closer in its orbit. This creates tides in Io's solid surface that rise 100 meters high, generating enough heat for volcanic activity. The volcanoes gush plumes of sulfur hundreds of kilometers into space. As we voyage further, our next stop is the sixth planet from the Sun, a gas giant known as the jewel of the solar system. Saturn is another massive ball of hydrogen and helium, this one adorned with billions of pieces of ice and rock, which are assembled into spectacular rings that stretch out around the planet in a dazzling disk. Saturn resides well over a billion kilometers from the Sun. From a distance, it appears to be enshrouded in a blanket of cloudy horizontal stripes dotted with intermittent storms. The planet's light brown color comes from a mixture of yellow ammonia crystals in the upper atmosphere. At Saturn's center lies a dense core of rock, ice, water, and other compounds, all made solid by extreme heat and pressure. Like Jupiter, Saturn's core is enveloped by liquid metallic hydrogen, which sits inside an outer layer of liquid hydrogen. This might be hard to imagine, but Saturn is the only planet in the solar system that is less dense than water. In other words, if tossed in a giant galactic swimming pool, Saturn would float. The planet has a short day, lasting just under 11 hours, but it takes 29 Earth years to complete a revolution around the Sun. Saturn's famous rings are made of billions of chunks of ice and rock, which vary from specks the scale of a grain of sugar to boulders the size of a house, with a small portion as big as mountains. The ring system reaches way out beyond the planet, extending 282,000 kilometers. Yet, in a peculiar contrast, the typical vertical height of the main rings is no greater than 10 meters, nearly the height of a three-story building. Held in Saturn's gravity are more than 50 moons. The biggest, named Titan, is the second largest moon in the solar system, and the only one to have a dense atmosphere, mostly made up of nitrogen and methane. Next our voyage continues to a distal ice giant that orbits the sun nearly on its side. Uranus is a smoggy, frozen world with an eccentric tilt and a vivid blue-green color. The planet's gravity holds 13 faint rings and at least 27 small moons in orbit. We're now almost 3 billion kilometers from the sun. So conditions on this icy world are choppy. Storms as large as North America rage for decades. Winds tear across the upper atmosphere at up to 900 kilometers an hour, and temperatures average minus 224 degrees Celsius. Hydrogen and helium predominate the planet's thick, cloudy atmosphere, with a small amount of methane and traces of water and ammonia. Uranus is called an ice giant because 80% of its mass is made up of a fluid mix of water, methane, and ammonia ices. We're not certain how, but Uranus ended up with an axial tilt unlike any other planet in the solar system. It rotates at nearly a 90-degree angle from the plane of its orbit around the Sun. In other words, Uranus appears to orbit the Sun, spinning on its side like a rolling ball. This unusual tilt gives the planet long seasons. For nearly a quarter of each Uranian year, the sun shines directly over each pole, plunging the other half of the planet into a dark winter that lasts 21 Earth years. Uranus maintains a rapid spin, completing a rotation in just over 17 hours. But its orbit around the sun lasts an astonishing 84 Earth years. Venturing outward still, we reach the second of the two ice giants and the last planetary destination on our tour of the solar system. Neptune is a cloudy ball of cobalt blue with 6 rings and 14 moons. It is the 4th largest planet by diameter, almost 4 times the size of Earth. We're now far off in the remote reaches of the solar system, some 4 billion kilometers from the sun. To look back at the center of the solar system from here, the sun would appear 30 times smaller than it appears from Earth. It takes light just over 8 minutes to travel from the sun to Earth. But that same light careening through space at 300,000 kilometers per second doesn't reach Neptune for more than 4 hours. A dynamic climate stews within Neptune's atmosphere, composed mainly of hydrogen and helium, with a smaller portion of methane. Vigorous storms roar across the planet, and powerful winds bluster at supersonic speeds of up to 2,400 kilometers an hour. we call the largest of Neptune's moons, Triton. It is an extremely cold place, with surface temperatures of minus 235 degrees Celsius. Yet we've detected geysers spewing ice matter 8 kilometers beyond Triton's surface, suggesting the moon has a warm interior. Scientists think an ocean may flow below the rocky surface. Next, we cross the region of planets to the realm of exoplanets, which roam in the outer province of the solar system. We've now reached the Kuiper Belt, a sprawling, disc-shaped region filled with billions of ancient icy objects. This sweeping field is similar to the main asteroid belt. But out here, in the solar system's backcountry, objects tend to come more icy than rocky. The Kuiper Belt spans for hundreds of millions of kilometers. It is believed that thousands of icy entities larger than 100 kilometers across reside in the Kuiper Belt, as well as many dwarf planets. The Kuiper Belt's most famous resident is an icy ball, once considered a planet. Now known as a dwarf planet, Pluto is a mantle of water ice surrounding what we believe is a rocky core. A coating of methane and nitrogen frost covers its surface. Pluto spends most of its time way out here during its 248-year orbit around the Sun, which follows an idiosyncratic ellipse and an off-kilter orbital plane. Pluto is only 2/3 the diameter of Earth's moon. One quirky feature of Pluto is its moon, Charon, which is almost half its size. Some consider the duo to be a double dwarf planet system. We now prepare to cross the final threshold before exiting the solar system and entering interstellar space. The heliosphere is a vast bubble of electrically charged particles given off by the Sun, spanning a region of space shaped like a teardrop, which encompasses our entire solar system. You see, the Sun emits a constant flow of charged particles from its upper atmosphere, a process we call the solar wind. These electrons and protons manage to escape the Sun's gravity because of their high kinetic energy. In essence, the heliosphere is the scope of the solar wind, the far-reaching outer atmosphere of the Sun, expanding outward like a colossal balloon, protecting the solar system from the cosmic radiation that looms in interstellar space. We're now arriving at the final perimeter of our solar system, which lies at an almost unfathomable distance from the Sun, and is believed to have trillions of celestial objects. The Oort cloud is a spherical shell of billions of icy fragments made up of ammonia, methane, and water ices. Every so often, one of these objects gets jostled out of position and sent on a journey through the solar system, falling in toward the sun. It is out here that long-period comets originate, those that take thousands of years to complete an orbit around the sun. One such comet, called Siding Spring, had a close encounter with Mars in 2014 during its slingshot orbit around the sun. Siding Spring won't return to the inner solar system for about 740,000 years. The Oort cloud is thought to begin 5,000 astronomical units from the sun and end around 100,000 astronomical units out, more than a light year from the sun. Here, at the outer boundary of the Oort cloud, we've ventured so far from home that it would take the world's fastest jet 500,000 years to get here. We've traveled almost too far to comprehend, and that's far enough for this journey. So let's end our voyage in a more familiar setting. Among the billions of objects lit by the light of a common sun, held in the gravity of our home star, from frozen fragments to gas giants, our journey ends on the most complex of them all, the most beautiful and wondrous. It is a place where a delicate atmosphere cradles a fertile landscape, where liquid water flows in oceans, pours down rivers, and showers down from the sky, where caps of ice rest at north and south, a place where cities of coral rest under waves and islands of ice coast along straits, where mountains tower into clouds and trees sway in gentle winds. A place where living organisms of all kinds thrive and reproduce and sprout and bloom and swim and soar and burrow and gallop and breathe and walk and ponder and love. Where countless conscious beings have lived out their lives, doing our best in the mystery and vastness of the universe, to find our place in it all. It is where our voyage concludes. The Earth, this tiny, precious place we all share.